And his tour climaxed with a dramatic speech delivered at Claremont on November 27th, 1095. The speech survives in several versions. There's at least five versions that have come down to us. None of them really is an accurate account of exactly what was said. But what these accounts represent is what the chroniclers thought should have been said, and themes that were repeated by Urban and other preachers through the course of the First Crusade to fire up the crowds to go east, as well as the types of images that were used in the sermons repeatedly delivered during the First Crusade to inspire the crusaders to march on and to fight. And it's at this point we should stress very much the power of words was important in this society. The ability to move crowds was much appreciated, and the sermons, especially the brief sermons given before a battle, before the icons, the banners, the relics of the true cross, were all important in getting men to go into battle. In the case of crusaders, it wasn't just men, but women, children, whole families were going to be on this essentially pilgrimage, an armed pilgrimage, which the Byzantines thought was a migration. And so the speech gives us at least some sense of the types of appeals that were launched. And if we take it in that regard, it's useful for me to read on it, read about this appeal at some extent, and I'll edit it a bit, because it's one of our windows into how Western Europeans were motivated. According to this version by Robert the Monk, who was the earliest of the chroniclers, Urban spoke as follows. O race of Franks, race from across the mountains, race chosen and beloved by God, as shines forth in very many of your works, and set apart from all nations by the situation of your country, as well as by your Catholic faith and the honor of the Holy Church. To you our discourse is addressed, and to you our exhortation is intended. We wish you to know that a grievous cause had led us to your country, what peril threatening you and all the faithful has brought us here. From the confines of Jerusalem, notice the order, and the city of Constantinople, a horrible tale has gone forth and very frequently has been brought to our ears, namely that a race from the kingdom of the Persians, he means the Turks, is very classicizing here, an accursed race, a race utterly alienated from God, and he goes on at great length describing them. This race has either entirely destroyed the churches of God or appropriated them for the rites of their own religion. They destroy altars after having defiled them with uncleanliness. They circumcise the Christians. That's about the only thing they know about Muslim practices. Spread the altars, spread the blood on the altars, pour into vases of the baptismal fount. They wish to torture people by base death. And he goes into great extent of how Christians are being martyred in the East. And then he appeals to them, let the deeds of your ancestors move you and incite your minds to manly achievement. The glory and greatness of King Charles the Great, that's Charlemagne. It's a very important appeal. They're all from Charlemagne. Let the holy sepulchre of the Lord, our Savior, which is possessed by unclean nations, especially incite you. O most valiant soldiers and descendants of invincible ancestors, be not degenerate, but recall the valor of your progenitors. And finally, he hits them with this, Jerusalem is in the navel of the world and land is fruitful above all others. Clearly, no one has ever really been there to call him on this. And he goes on about all of the advantages of Jerusalem. And finally, accordingly, undertake this journey for remission of your sins with the assurance of the imperishable glory of the kingdom of heaven. That is, should you die in battle against the infidel, your salvation is assured. Well, from the accounts, whatever version of the speech was given, the crowds went wild. Numerous of them shouted in Latin, Deus Vult or Deus La Vult, and various types of dialogue. God wills it. So many pledged themselves to the cross. They were supposed to put a cloth, showing a cloth on their shoulder pad, that they ran out of cloth. Dramatically, monks were tearing up parts of their robes to hand it out. And this speech was repeated not only by Urban, but by popular preachers and bishops across Europe, and fired the enthusiasm of crowds at point after point. The effect of this appeal by Urban was extremely important for him. Urban, for instance, also had some rather rational motives here. For one, all crusaders, their properties were now put under the control of the church. That is, they were protected while crusaders were fighting out in the East. Very nice way of stressing spiritual over secular. In addition, Urban claimed that people should consider this trip very carefully after the firing up of the crowds, and hoped very much that the princes of Western Europe would take up the call, even if the kings turned deaf ears.